So at this time, let us turn to the back of our bulletins to read together our Confession of Faith from the Belgic Confession of Faith, Article 5. We look back on what we looked at last Lord's Day regarding the books that we understand to be holy and canonical. So let us read together our Confession of Faith, whence the Holy Scriptures derive their dignity and authority. We receive all these books, and these only, as holy and canonical for the regulation, foundation, and confirmation of our faith, believing without any doubt all things contained in them, not so much because the Church receives and approves them as such, but more especially because these Holy Spirit witnesses in our hearts that they are from God, and also because they carry the evidence thereof in themselves. For the very blind are able to perceive that the things foretold in them are being fulfilled. And so, brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we think about the books of the Bible, the Old and New Testament, you have, I'm sure, and we talked about it last Lord's Day, heard of people who claim, well, this book should be in there, that book should be in there, this book shouldn't be in there. Well, brothers and sisters, we understand the books that we have in the 66 books of the Bible, what we understand to be the Bible, are holy and canonical. The other ones are not. We have to understand that from a number of different perspectives, that God has preserved these particular books, that they were already affirmed very early in the history of the church, that these are the books of the Bible. And there are other possibilities, yes. But brothers and sisters, we have to understand that those possibilities, those books that others try to slide in, whether it be the intertestamental books, whether it be the apocryphal books that say these are what were written by this apostle or that apostle, that they do not bear in themselves the evidence. We don't need to be afraid when people say, oh, we need to have the Gospel of Thomas. Read that sucker. Believe me, it's not Bible. You don't have to go very far in these apocryphal books to see they teach something entirely different than Scripture. We have to understand that. And so it's not just that the church has said these are the books, but the Holy Spirit witnesses in our hearts. Again, the Ladies' Aid has been going through some of these things out of John Calvin's institutes. And it's so powerful to think about and to go through. Why do we believe these books? Because the Spirit of God witnesses in our hearts that they are from God. We also have evidences. Not that we as like to spend a lot of time in evidence, but brothers and sisters, we have historical record that these books were those that were seen by the church from early ages, from the first century on, as the Word of God. But though that is not sufficient, we also, as I said, can read them ourselves. And you know my passion that we be those who be in the Scriptures, reading. And brothers and sisters, one aspect of that I do want to bring up is how much we look outside of the Scriptures. One of the things that I struggle with, and this has been the fashion in devotions recently, is a verse of Scripture, maybe even a phrase, and then pages of human beings writing. I believe it was Spurgeon who said, visit many books, live in the Bible. And brothers and sisters, we need to do that. In fact, one of the things I think we struggle with in the church today is pastors who have not read the Bible regularly, who spend their time in other books, but not in the Bible. And whole churches that don't know what God's Word says because we're reading everybody else. This is what it says here. Let's read it. Let's study it. And we have to be careful that we are in God's Word, seeking to understand God's Word, and not spending all of our time elsewhere. We read, of course, the well-known passage, 1 Timothy 3, 14 through 17. These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly, but if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. That we have this confession laid out before us in Scripture so that we can know the truth of God's Word. That we have before us the very words of God. And so, as I said, the Spirit bears witness within our hearts that they're from God. They carry evidence thereof in themselves. They are the self-attesting Word of God. For the very blind are able to perceive that the things foretold in them are being fulfilled. We can see that the Word of God speaks livingly to the things going on in the world around us. When I was in seminary, one of our neighbors said to me, when he found out that I was going to be a pastor, that I was studying to be a pastor, he said, "Well, I hope you can make that old book relevant for today." And I said, I didn't say right to him, I said in my heart, "The Word of God is relevant. Just read it. Just study it. You don't have to be multiple degrees in school and theology to understand God's Word." Brothers and sisters, we need that Word of God. And these are the books that we need to be in. Yes, there are other books to help us in them. But visit many books. Live in the Word of God. And we have the very words of God right there in front of us. And so, brothers and sisters, why would we not be there? That's the question that we have to ask. There are many people who say, "Well, I don't need to be in that Word of God." I had that said in a class in college. We were talking about being in the Bible, and a person got up and said, "You know, I have the Word of God. It's sitting right here in my hand. I don't need to read it." And I'm just screaming within myself. Yes, if you don't read it, what good is it to you to have it sit there? It's just like the other, what advantage does the person have who can read but doesn't over the person who can't read? There's no difference. And so we need that Word of God. We need to be in it. And I think it's well characterized. Someone has said the Word of God is his love letter to us. If your sweetheart had written you a love letter, would you just stick it in a box somewhere, let it get dusty? If we love God, how much more ought that be to us? An awesome joy to be in his Word. Sometimes our loved one might write to us hard things. Does that mean that we then quit reading? No. It might be hard to get, but how much beauty is there for us in being in God's Word? What a joy that God has written his Word down for us in his love. to tell us who he is, to tell us what he has done for us, and to tell us how we are to live then in gratitude for his great and awesome gifts to us as his people. Amen.